Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, open it up. Get your notebooks, get your pens. How I love to see people who bring their notebooks, who bring their pens. Even you watching right now, God bless you. Even those of you who have your cell phone, iPad, whatever it is that you make notes on. God bless you. Because you are the ones who are serious. You've come to this place, you've tuned into this channel, prepared, knowing that I'm going to receive something. And I want you to know that this has been our prayer, that today, as every other time we go live, that we're not here to entertain. We're not even here to inform. We're here to preach the Word of God so that it will become a revelation to you. So that you will be equipped. So that when the devil comes knocking on your door, he will say, no, 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 devil, that's not how it works, for it is written. It is written that you will know the Word. And when there's other friends or family or people who come your way, who face challenges, you will also, because you have been equipped, because you've been raised up, you will be able to instruct them. You'll be able to advise them. You'll be able to bring them to church. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to talk about divine prosperity. Over the last couple of weeks, we started talking about divine healing, divine health, and then this week, divine prosperity. The interesting thing is that the moment you start talking about prosperity, it's like you awaken every demon in hell. I've often wondered why. Even when you post something on Facebook and you say something about prosperity, well, I can't believe that. And then you say to the person, it's a portion of scripture. It's not even my words. Yeah, I know the Bible says it, but again, I want to say to you, either everything that is written is the truth or everything is a lie. There is no middle ground. Either everything is the truth or everything is a lie. And I've made up my mind. For those of you who know me know how I love the Word. I preach the Word. Paul said, Him we preach. And that's what we do. And it's for that reason that I cannot find the words prosperity gospel in the Bible. People who persecute it and would say all kinds of things about it. Yeah, well, that's a prosperity gospel. You know, that's a prosperity preacher. But yet we do not find the words prosperity gospel in the Bible. What we do find is the gospel, which is the good news. Think about that. The gospel, the good news is liberation. Freedom. That you will not again be slaves in this world. For the spirit that you have not received, or that you have received, does not make you a slave yet again. It's a spirit that has brought about your adoption as a son and as a daughter of the Most High God. How many of you know, as a parent, you only want to give the very best to your children? Am I right? You only want to give the very best. Jesus even said, if you, as earthly fathers who are wicked, in other words, he was trying to say who are not perfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father not give you all things? All things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added upon you, shall be added unto you and your family, your children, and your children's children. So what we find when we read the Bible is that we read about the gospel, and also then the blessings that are available to those who are willing and obedient, there's the key, willing and obedient to what? To enter into covenant with God. The Bible says this, Isaiah 1:19, that if you are willing and obedient, if you are willing and obedient, you have to be willing and you have to be obedient. Those are the keys that unlock true prosperity. Willingness and obedience. Willingness of what? Willingness to listen to God's instruction. Many people simply approach the Word of God as a book of promises. Yes, it's a book of promises to those who are willing and obedient to follow this, that which has been instructed. Can you say amen? I'm not yet to sugarcoat anything this morning. This is the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's what the Bible says. In Psalm 35, 27, how this has become, call it then, something that I just say all the time. It's become a true revelation that God delights in the prosperity of His people. Many people want to say that, you know, God never promised prosperity. God never promised abundance. God, that's not what I read in the Word. The Bible does not say that God delights in the poverty of His people. Hello. It doesn't say that. And I challenge again anyone who can give me one scripture out of all of them. I can give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture that speak about prosperity, that speak about the blessing of God, that speak about the fact that you will be the head and not the tail, that you will be above always and never beneath, that you will bear fruit in every season of your life, that your leaves will not wither. I can give you scripture upon scripture upon scripture pertaining to the prosperity and the blessing, favor of God. Give me one scripture where God has ever rewarded anyone's faithfulness with poverty. There's none. God delights in the prosperity of His children. The word translated prosperity in Hebrew is the word shalom. When you look at Psalm 35, verse 27, God delights in the prosperity of His children. It is the word shalom. Isn't it interesting that this then could also render God delights in the peace of His children? Yet the translations all translated as prosperity. God delights in the prosperity of His children, of His servants. What I found when I went and I looked through the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, the words prosperity and peace are used interchangeably, are interlinked with one another. And this is what the Lord revealed to me this week. Is that Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, every year during Christmas we quote the scripture, Isaiah 9 verse 6, which reveals that He is the Prince of Peace. And this made me realize, since the Old Testament uses these two words interchangeably, that these two words, peace and prosperity, are interlinked. Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, also then is the Prince of Prosperity. God delights in the prosperity of His people. Where there's peace, there's prosperity. Where there's prosperity, there's peace. Hallelujah. Oh, our church, I pray that this would become a revelation. That you will know how much He loves you. That He has given you the ability, He has empowered you to prosper. He did not give you His empowerment through His Spirit so that you would be poor. Because the default setting in this world is for you to prosper. However, the Spirit the Lord gave you is a spirit that suppresses creativity, that suppresses innovation, so that you would be a procrastinator and be a person who is lazy so that it may result in poverty. That's not the Spirit He has given you. Jesus came to set the captives free, to give the good news, the gospel. Proverbs 10:22, how you all know this. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing which is associated with prosperity, the blessing of the Lord does what? Maketh a man rich. And then listen to the second part. And adds no sorrow with it. Sorrow is that you can say is the opposite of peace. It's when your soul is in turmoil, sorrow, grief. He bore our sorrows. He bore our griefs upon that cross. Can you say amen? He took my shame. He took my guilt. He took my condemnation. But He also took my sorrows. He took my griefs so that perfect peace may flood my soul. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord causes a man to prosper and adds no sorrow. In other words, the blessing of the Lord brings prosperity and perfect peace. I pray that you would receive that. Hallelujah. For that's your portion. Father, I pray right now for every man, woman, and child, everyone. I just see the tears, the hurt, the pain, financial pressure, debt. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for that debt to be canceled in Jesus' name. That pressure that is associated with mountains of debt, that debt to be squashed, to be removed. You've said that you will go before us and level every mountain, so we thank you. We thank you that those mountains are removed. You also promise that you will cause us to stumble upon hidden treasures. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you will lead every single one right now to find those hidden treasures, so that the wealth of the wicked that has been laid up for the just will truly flood into the hands of the righteous, will come into possession of those who walk in holiness and purity, so that we in turn can be a blessing to those around us, that we will fund the advancing of your kingdom in a way that we've never done before, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What I've come to realize is that prosperity is the consequence of the blessing. The word blessing simply means empowered to prosper. That's what it means. So you cannot talk about prosperity, not talk about the blessing. The Lord has blessed you. He has blessed you with every good gift. He's blessed you. As you stand there right now, this can be your confession, even in the comment section. You can say, I am blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed going in, blessed coming out. Blessed in the field. In other words, blessed in the rural areas. Blessed in the farm. As you are blessed in the towns, blessed in the cities. In Jesus' name. The Lord showed me something as well this week, which I refer to as the prosperity typology. I don't have time to go into this, but for those of you who know me will know how much I love types and shadows, foreshadowings. To see things in the Old Testament and how it truly comes to its fullness in the New. Oh, how I love that. But this is what the Lord showed me in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4, in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. This is the word of the Lord. He spoke to the Israelites as they left the land of Egypt. And he said this. He said that there should be no poor among you. When he freed them out of Egypt and said, let's go to the promised land, even while you are on your way, in other words, before you have even entered into your season, that there will already be provision along the way. Did you get that? Many people think that where they are at now, as they're about to enter into a new season, that it would be marked by a period of hardship until such a time that they enter into that new season. But the Lord clearly said to them that when you go out of Egypt, as you transition into your new season, you will not be poor. You will not struggle. For the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land that He's giving you as a special possession. You say, well, back this up for me some more. Here it is. Psalm 105, verse 37. In the King James, it says, He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among the tribes. There was not one feeble among the tribes. This stems from Exodus 12. I read this to you last week, speaking about divine health. But now I want to read this to you with the second part, which is divine prosperity. Where the Israelites were crying out because they were in an oppressive system. They were in a system that was designed to keep the people poor. God took them out of that wicked financial system when God saw the oppression of His people. And then God said, it is time to act. God then responded, Exodus 12, verse 12, saying, I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. And then in verse 35 and 36, and the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. And the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. And so they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. When they had left, when they were now in the wilderness, there were not one among them who had any need. There shall be no poor among you, the Lord said. But look at this. We find this in the Old Testament, and now we find a new. After the apostles were, you can say, driven out of exile, then to a certain extent, the new believers out of Jerusalem, they settled their own little community, the first Christian community. It says, all the believers, in verse 32, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they had owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. Verse 33, the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Verse 34, so that there were no needy among them. In the same way that God took people out of an oppressive system in the Old Testament times, He did that again in the New Testament. And you say, well, yeah, that was back then. He's still doing it to this day. If we will simply be willing and obedient to what is instructed. So how do you crush the spirit of poverty? There's much more that I can share with you. For the sake of time, here's three things that happen when you tithe to your local church. 2021 has been marked as the year of the local church. To crush the spirit of poverty, you have to be faithful with your tithe and your offerings. Now understand, the tithe goes to your local church. When you sow seed and when you bring offerings, that you can do many different places, even Faith TV. But listen to this. When you are a tither, you access three specific, which we refer to as tithers' rights. These are things that you can now stand upon, because these are things that God's word has said is available to you. These three things are, number one, provision. In Malachi chapter 3, God says, test me now in this. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so large that you will not have room enough to store it. Divine provision. Number two is divine protection. Not only will there be an overflow. How many of you know that even when you have a lot, it's easy for the enemy to come and take some? In other words, how many of you have ever seen that? If you have a purse and you've got quite a bit of cash with you, if someone takes out one note, it's easy for that one note to go missing without you necessarily realizing it. And so God says that not only will I bless you with an excess, an overflow, but the devourer will be rebuked. He will not be able to touch it. Nothing will go missing. Nothing will break. You will suffer no loss. The devourer is rebuked for your sake. Then number three is divine promotion. The Bible says that the world will once again see the difference between those who worship God and those who do not. A line has been drawn in the sand. And I'm wanting to say to you that as you and your family have been faithful, you have not been swayed with your natural senses. You have been like Abraham, fully persuaded that God is able to do just as He has promised. You've not looked at the economic climate and said, well, I'm not going to sow. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So there's a window, there's an opportunity right now for you to sow a seed. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Now lo and behold, that word, seed time. There is a time to sow a seed. And we do so by faith. We do so in the anointing. That time is now. But then it speaks of the word harvest. It does not say harvest time. It does not say as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest time. No, no, no. It says as long as the earth remains, seed time, there is a time, an appointed time to sow and harvest. Your harvest, listen to me, your harvest is not something that is determined by time. Did you get that? There is a time to sow, but your harvest can come right here, right now. It's not to say to wait 6 months, to wait 12 months, to wait 5 years. Hey, I've sowed a seed, but you know what? I know that it's going to take years for that to ever come to pass. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus to everyone who gets ready to sow a seed, even everyone right now. Father, I thank you that even now in the anointing, that they, as they go and sow a seed in this appointed time, that the harvest will be accelerated in Jesus' name, that they will from this day walk in divine prosperity, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Perfect peace that comes as a result also of His prosperity. Lord, we thank you that you delight in the prosperity of your people. And we declare that prosperity is our portion in Jesus' name.